Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 16. This is the word of God. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Thus far the word of the Lord, and may he bless it to us all. You may be seated. You would think that if there was any Christian man who was bold, it was the Apostle Paul. And indeed, he was incredibly bold and courageous. And yet he prays. He asks them, which is praying, he makes a request to them that they would pray for him, that he would open his mouth boldly to speak the gospel as he ought. He makes that petition to them, to petition God on his behalf twice. Paul is a man who indeed was incredibly brave. In 2 Corinthians 11, he described his sufferings for Christ. He was beaten more times than he could count. He was stoned once. And when people stone you, they stone you to put you to death. We have the account in the book of Acts. They thought he was dead, but after they left, he revived. Maybe he was dead, and God revived him. He received the 40 lashes minus one five times. He was beaten with rods. All manner of sufferings. And he had lost, as we read in Philippians, he had lost everything for the sake of Christ. And he wrote this letter from a Roman prison. Eventually, he was executed by the Roman government for preaching Jesus Christ as Lord. And yet this brave and courageous man calls upon his readers in Ephesus twice to pray for him to have boldness. Do we need that? You know, even the most outgoing and the most outspoken people, Christians, find it hard to speak out, to speak the gospel, to speak up for the truth. For a very long time, we have shared in our culture a common Christian ethical base. Even atheists believe in a basic Christian ethic. Well, that's all gone now. And it's even harder to speak now because we live in an age not only like in that in which Isaiah preached, where they called good evil and evil good, but we live in an age where they say there is no good or evil. We've gone way beyond even those days. And there can be a huge cost today for speaking up. Even just following out your faith can cost you dearly. Think of the Kleins. And right here in the state of Oregon, because they would not make a wedding cake for a same-sex marriage, they have been found guilty of violating anti-discrimination laws and have penalties in excess of $150,000. Not only did they have to close their bakery because of threats, because of fear, because of the threats against them, but now they're in danger of being driven into bankruptcy. And this is a Christian couple. They have five children. because they refused to bake a cake because of their religious convictions that marriage is between a man and a woman. And think about what this indicates about our society. Imagine if it had been an atheist and they were flat-out anti-gay bigots and were very nasty in refusing to make a cake. 150,000 dollar penalty. I think our forefathers would have known what to call this. But this is the world in which we are. InterVarsity Christian Fellowship has been banned from 24 university campuses in California. Because as a Christian organization, they only allow those who profess the Christian faith and live according to Christian conduct to be leaders. For this, they've been banned from the campuses. Gordon College has been served notice that their sexual conduct code is under review, and they will be reviewed next year and are in danger of losing their accreditation if they don't toe the line with the anything goes sexual practices of today. This kind of thing has been growing in our country for a long time. Back in the 1970s, the Ohio State Board of Education tried to impose the Ohio Standards of Education on Christian schools. That is essentially to make the Christian schools teach what the Ohio public schools teach, which would be an utter denial of why the Christian schools exist in the first place. They successfully resisted. The Christian Law Association defended them. They successfully resisted. In an act of poetic justice, toward the end of that big court battle, the Ohio schools had to close their public schools for a number of days because they ran out of money to run them while they're spending who knows how much money trying to crush the Christian schools of Ohio. That was back in the 1970s. I believe it was the early 80s, Pastor Everett Sullivan, a Baptist church in Nebraska, refused to allow the state to dictate to their Christian school what they must teach. They padlocked the church and put Pastor Sullivan in jail. God works all things for good. There he read some books and became a rock-ribbed Calvinist. But we are, without any doubt, in a culture that is becoming increasingly and more overtly hostile to our Christian faith. And it is in this context that we need boldness. How do we get this? The Apostle Paul says, pray for me. Look at it down there in verse 18. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. We are to pray for all believers. That includes our brothers and sisters over in northern Iraq. The hideous atrocities being committed against them are there beyond imagination. And also he says, for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. And then a second time, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Well, Paul records this prayer because he wants them to know what is on his heart, because it's instructive to them. Because Paul himself, as a follower of Jesus Christ, is an example to all of us. Think of Miriam Ibrahim. She was held in prison by the Muslim government of Sudan. They claimed that she must be a Muslim because her father was a Muslim, even though he had abandoned her and her mother when she was just a small child. Her mother was a Christian and raised her as Christian. And so she was jailed for that. She's a doctor, an educated person. Her husband, an American citizen, is a doctor. She was 8 months pregnant when they put her in prison. She gave birth while in prison with her legs manacled to the floor. She was a bold and outspoken witness. She was given the choice, convert to Islam or die. They were going to allow her to nurse her new baby for a time before they executed the sentence. Her response was, "You might as well go ahead and execute me now because I am not going to recant my faith." This is a bold Christian woman, filled with the Holy Spirit, through international outrage and the mercies of God moving through His means. She was freed and is now with her family here in the United States. Pastor Saeed Abedini, held in an Iranian prison. What's his big crime? He went to Iran to help start an orphanage. The enemies of Christ are real. But we must remember what the Apostle Paul says. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but with the dark spiritual powers who have them in bondage. Human beings are only the often all too willing servants of those dark powers. To us is given the power to defeat those enemies. How? By the spiritual weapons of defense and offense that we've been examining in the past weeks. Belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit. How do we take hold of these? They will be of no use to us on the shelf or hanging on the wall. Prayer is the hand of faith that takes these weapons and uses them for an impregnable defense and to go on the offensive against the dark spiritual powers. And this is what Paul is praying. He's asking us to pray for him, that he would have the faith to use these weapons of defense and offense that he's just been teaching us about in this letter to the Ephesians, which is for us. They're the canonical, Spirit-inspired, authoritative, and infallible scriptures for the whole Church of Jesus Christ for all time. It strengthened Paul to know that they were praying for him. Listen to what he says in Philippians. Again, writing from prison. With uncertainty as to whether he's going to be executed, but with the hope that he would be able to remain for their sakes. Because he said, to depart and be with Christ is much better, but it's more needful for you that I remain. But listen to what he says in Philippians 1 verse 19. I know that through your prayers, let me accent that, that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ go together. Your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope, that I will not at all be ashamed, but that with full courage now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You see, Paul was strengthened by the prayers of the brothers and sisters in Philippi. And we are to pray for all saints. See, this is the second of the two offensive weapons that our Lord Jesus Christ has given to us. The first is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. The second is praying in the Spirit. Wielding the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and praying in the Spirit go together. Praying in the Spirit is the hand that takes hold of the sword of the Spirit. The Word of truth, the powerful Word of God that cuts through the lies and the deceptions of the devil and sets the captives free. We must know this Word. But we must take hold of this Word by the hand of believing prayer. And that means coming together to pray. You know, all the things that you see in the media these days are very disturbing and very disheartening and very fear-inducing. We need biblical boldness. We need courage. Well, it's going to come about as we take the sword of the Spirit and as we pray in the Spirit. This is no time for a casual approach to our faith. This is a time to show up and stand up and be counted, and praying for all saints, praying for one another. Now, in these days, we face two huge temptations. One is to compromise. I will just go with the flow. And many will do so. But that will not help. There will be no end to what the enemy will demand if we compromise. We must stand firm for the truth, whatever the cost. The other great temptation is going to be to become like the world in our response. To respond to the world in some other way than the use of the gospel. The point and the edges, the leading edges of the sword of the Spirit is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul knew this. And he set himself to preach the gospel to the end, because he knew that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. We must remember both of these things. Do not compromise. And remember that our response to the foes is the gospel. The gospel drives back the powers of darkness and sets the captives free. We have a Redeemer. His name is Jesus Christ. And He alone can set the captives free. When we speak the truth, it is Jesus Christ speaking in us and through us. At the Bend Ministerial Association this past week, there was a gentleman, a pastor from Africa. And it described his sufferings at the hands of Muslims. They broke his leg. They put him in a cell with concrete floor and poured acid on the floor, barefoot. He also told us about some radical Muslims who had gotten converted. And the Church of Jesus Christ was having to shield and to hide these men, to protect them. This is biblical boldness. This is standing firm on and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, if he had responded in terms of the world, he would not have cared what happened to these former Muslim radicals who had put their faith in Jesus Christ. After all, he had suffered at the hands of Muslims. He had been set free by the powerful Word of God, by people who had taken hold of that Word in believing prayer. And he knew that the grace of God was not for him alone, but also for those who persecuted him. And that's why he and his Christian community dealt with these men in grace. This is what we need to remember. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we say we believe in the sovereignty of God. We believe in sovereign election and predestination. We believe, as Paul says in Ephesians 1:11, that God works all things according to the counsel of his own will. We believe, as Paul says in Romans 8:28 and following, that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. We believe, as Paul says in Romans 8:39, after listing a whole list of trials that Christians go through, that in all these things we are more than conquerors, because nothing in heaven or on earth can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. If we believe it, pray it. If we believe it, show up for duty. Show up for prayer. When we gather on the Lord's Day, we do two things simultaneously. We worship our God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we bear witness. Worship is at the same time mission. What we do here is the equipping to go out and follow Jesus every day. But it begins here. It begins here. There are so many people that need our prayers, our brothers and sisters in the Middle East, brothers and sisters who are suffering at the hands of the ungodly here, who are themselves but the tools of dark spiritual powers that only the Church of Jesus Christ can cast down by the power of prayer and the power of the sword of the Spirit. The church on earth has been described as the church militant. But it's a militancy of grace and mercy and love. It's a militancy of wielding the sword of the Spirit, the cutting edge of which is a message of grace and forgiveness and of salvation for all people. God grant us boldness. God grant us boldness to speak forth the truth as we ought, and to live according to the truth, and to respond according to the truth, even when we are persecuted. Brothers and sisters, we need to wield the sword of the Spirit by the hand of believing prayer together. I want you to take encouragement for this, because when you hear the news, you read the magazines and so on, it's easy to think, what can I do? I have no power. And what can the Church of Jesus Christ do? It seems like all the wrong sorts of people are in decision-making positions. Well, the power of God unto salvation is what we have. The power of prayer is what we have. You see, the norm for human beings and nations outside of Christ is violence and greed and unrestrained sexual immorality. What begins to bring newness out of all that death and destruction and chaos is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Society collapsed with the fall of the Roman Empire, but remaining was the Church of Jesus Christ. And by the power of the sword of the Spirit, the forces of darkness were pushed back and were destroyed. This is the case wherever the gospel goes into a new mission field. Our nation, in its apostasy, is now a mission field. Dear brothers and sisters, let us take up the defensive weapons and the sword of the Spirit and prayer in the Spirit, and let us joyfully proclaim this good news. We ourselves know that this life is but a preparation for heaven. What happens in this life is not all there is. We are looking for a new heavens and a new earth. In the meantime, we are to live joyfully and thankfully because we have been set free by Jesus Christ. This is not a time for us to remain silent. It's a time for us to share good news to a country and to a people that is increasingly without hope. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you have raised us from the dead and given us new life. You have given us the sword of the Spirit. Oh, Father, by believing prayer, help us to take it and to wield it, for it is the life-giving word. The message of your grace and mercy through the shed blood of Jesus Christ to the worst of sinners that sets them free. And these days, Father, we acknowledge our own weakness, our own fear, our own inability. But our trust is in you, not in ourselves. Oh, Father, grant to us biblical boldness to speak up and to stand up for the truth of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to live it out. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's respond to these applications of the word by offering ourselves and our gifts to the Lord in thanksgiving.